Well, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. What a great opportunity to open God's Word and learn from Him. If you would, join me as we have a prayer of illumination that God might speak to us through His Word. Heavenly Father, contained in our hands and in our midst is the precious Word of God. Today we believe its contents to be authoritative, accurate, absolute, and applicable to our lives. Heavenly Father, may Thy Word be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive what You have for us this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Church family, as I mentioned earlier, your sign is quite appropriate, declaring new things. You see, God wants to do new things in our lives. Whether we've just begun our faith journey or whether we've been walking with the Lord for decades, God is interested in doing new things in our lives. Today's sermon is entitled, New Things. Let me invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read one verse from 2 Corinthians, and then we'll read together Revelation 21. If you are willing and if you are able, let me invite you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We honor the words of Holy Scripture, the good news of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. May He add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word. Amen. Our Old Testament reading from this morning spoke of new things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The prophet Isaiah prophesied about new things. God wants to do new things in our lives today. Paul spoke of new things. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. God wants to do new things in our lives today. The book of Revelation spoke of new things. I am making everything new. Behold, I make all things new. God wants to do new things in your life and in my life today. We experience these new things in Christ. We do not experience them in our own efforts. We do not experience them in religion or rituals or traditions. We do not experience them because of our family history, our socioeconomic status, our individual achievements, or our personal accomplishments. The only way we experience new things is in Jesus Christ. We experience new things in Christ and Him crucified on the cross. The cross of Christ enables us to experience God's provision and God's blessing as we understand and individually accept our faith. that Jesus Christ was incarnated in the Virgin Mary, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins, that Jesus was buried. On the third day, Christ rose. Christ conquered the grave. Christ conquered the death. Christ conquered the power of sin. Jesus holds the keys to eternal life. And Jesus Christ wants to save all that will come to Him. That's how we experience the new things. As we journey our way through this church season of Lent, next week we celebrate Palm Sunday. We worship the Messiah. And after that, the best Sunday of the whole year, perhaps Easter Sunday, we celebrate the risen Lord. And it's because of Easter, it's because of the cross, that we can experience new things. Experiencing new things is not automatic. Only those committed to Christ experience new things. A life centered on Jesus will enable us to experience new things. Acts chapter 17, it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." For as we live in Christ, as we move in Christ, as we have our very being in Christ, then we will experience the new things that God has for us. Austin Miles wrote a wonderful hymn penned in the early 1900s. It captures the very essence of experiencing new things. The songwriter says, "I was once a sinner, but I came, pardoned to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not by God's angry frown, when the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven and I know by the blood I am made whole." And then the refrain says, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam." What a message. What a promise. What a great thing that God wants to do new things in our life today. This morning, I'd like us to look at three specific areas in which God wants to do new things. Number one, God wants to give us a new future. God wants to give us a new future. Philippians chapter 3 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven. And as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." That's a new future. Jesus said it Himself in St. John chapter 4. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am." God wants to give us a new future, a home in heaven, life everlasting. Not only does God want to give us a new future in eternity, God wants to give us a new future in our remaining days here on earth. Proverbs 16, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster." Jeremiah 29 offers us a wonderful promise, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God wants to give us direction for our life. God wants to give us a plan for our life. Yes, God wants to give us a new future. Several years ago, a teacher was assigned the responsibility of tutoring students in the hospital. This hospital teacher would review their school lessons so they would not fall behind in their classes. The teacher went in one day and saw a young boy residing in the hospital's burn unit. The young boy was horribly burned, in tremendous pain, and was not making much improvement. The teacher came in, holding back her tears, and began to help the youngster with his homework. The next day, one of the nurses stopped the teacher before he could go into the boy's room and asked her, "What did you do to him yesterday?" The teacher got nervous and started to explain, but then the nurse interrupted, No, you don't understand. He has made remarkable improvements since yesterday's visit." So the teacher asked the boy, and he explained, "Until yesterday, I'd given up all hope. I wasn't improving. I had given up. But then you came in, and I gained hope. I realized the hospital would not be sending in a teacher to work with a boy who was going to die. So I knew I could get better. I knew I wasn't going to die." Hope. It can come in a word. It can come in a gesture. It can come in unexpected ways. You and I can be the hope that others need as we share Christ. God wants to give us a new future. God wants to give us a hope. A new future for the ages to come. A new future for our remaining days here on earth. Number one, God wants to give us a new future. Number two, God wants to give us a new present. God wants to give us a new present. Matthew 6 says, "Do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Psalm 37, a wonderful promise. "I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Just think about your life. Think about all God's done in you and for you, in your family. He's faithful. He wants to give us a new present. Hebrews 4 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." God wants to give us a new present. He wants to meet you right here, right now, day by day, moment by moment. Henry Ford Motor Company. In the 1940s, Ford Motor Company experienced a new present. A reluctance by senior management and a lack of leadership at Ford to modernize its operation almost destroyed Ford. In fact, the government was about to take over Ford since the demise of the company would have threatened the U.S. war efforts during World War II. But instead, Henry Ford II was released from his military duties and sent back to run Ford Motor Company and turn things around. Remarkably, Ford Motor Company did just that, became one of the biggest corporations in the world. Ford Motor Company experienced a new present. We read about Peter in the Bible. Peter experienced a new present. Consider Simon Peter as he walked on the water and then began to sink as his faith faltered and his eyes was removed from Jesus. Consider Simon Peter as Jesus explained to his disciples that he would be crucified and then raised again on the third day. And Peter took Christ aside and began to rebuke and correct Jesus. Wow. Consider Simon Peter is outside the courtyard after Jesus was arrested. It was there that Peter disowned Christ and denied him three separate times, saying, "I do not even know the man." But on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. Over 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. Simon Peter experienced a new present. you and I can experience a new present. God wants to give us a new present. Christ wants to meet the needs of our life in spirit, mind, soul, and body. Whatever your need is, Jesus can meet that need. If it's a problem or a heartache or an obstacle, a hardship, a disappointment, a trial, a temptation, a trying circumstance, a difficult situation, a struggle with sin, you're facing a storm, you're undergoing a loss, you're battling a sickness, trying to overcome an addiction, perhaps an indifference to God's will, compromising what we know we should be doing, whatever the situation is, Jesus is the answer. And God wants to give us a new present. Our lives should reflect the old gospel song that says, every day I live, I'm blessed. I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. And the reason we can say that and claim that promise is because Jesus is with us, giving us a new present. Number one, God wants to give us a new future. Number two, God wants to give us a new present. Finally, number three, God wants to give us a new past. You say, that's where you lost me. The past is the past. God wants to give us a new past. How can God give us a new past? What has already happened has happened. History has recorded certain events. How can God give us a new past? I remember my past. I remember my sins and shortcomings. I remember my failures. I also remember the good and the bad. I remember the successes and the failures. I remember what happened back in 1972. How can God change the past? Well, this morning I just want to stop by and tell you, God is not limited by time or space as we know it. God is not limited by the metaphysical realm as we understand it. God is not limited by our very limited reason. Revelation says, behold, I make all things new. Holy Scripture clearly shows us that God wants to give us a new past. Isaiah 43, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. He remembers your sins no more. That's a new past. Many Christians go year after year after year dragging their past. But God wants to give us a new past. Perhaps some of you ladies own a pearl necklace, a pearl earring. Pearls are expensive. Natural pearls are expensive. Natural pearls have a past. Imitation pearls, not so much. Natural pearls have a past. For a pearl to form an irritant must enter an oyster, a clam, or a mussel. Pearls are made by marine oysters and freshwater mussels as a natural defense against an irritant such as a parasite, a fish scale, or some other bit of rubbish entering the shell. The oyster or mussel slowly secretes a substance that covers the irritant, layer after layer after layer of secretion. These layers, which protect the oyster from the irritant, eventually becomes a hard and lustrous pearl. Real pearls, natural pearls, have a past. Just like the forming of a pearl, irritants can enter your life and my life. Rubbish can enter our lives through dangerous habits, unhealthy relationships, self-doubt, disappointments, disobedience, intentional or unintentional sins, complacency, maybe failure to follow God's will fully, or simply making a bad choice. We may even begin to believe that these irritants define us. We may find it difficult to break free from these irritants, but God wants to give us a new past. The irritant that is in our life can be covered by layer upon layer upon layer of God's grace and mercy, His love and forgiveness. Through the blood of Christ, we are set free. We can turn our irritant over to Jesus. And in doing so, we are justified. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. We are protected and we are renewed. We don't have to drag our past around, because in Jesus Christ, God is giving us a new past. Just like the irritant in the oyster is given a new past in the form of a beautiful pearl, God wants to give us a new past. Our rubbish is covered in God's layers. Our irritant is covered in God's layers. We are protected. We are renewed. We are restored. We can have a new past. Isaiah chapter 1 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." That sounds like a new past. Psalms 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Notice God did not say north and south. For if you go north, you will eventually reach the south. And you'll make a continuous loop across the same path that was already traveled due to the polarity of the earth. But if you go east, you'll never reach west. If you go west, you'll never reach east. Rather, you'll leave earth and enter space. As far as the east is from the west. That's how far God has removed our transgressions from us. I trust many of you have heard the term sea of forgetfulness. This phrase is not found anywhere in the Bible, but yet its meaning is biblical. It's understood by linking two scriptures together, Micah 7, Jeremiah chapter 31. In Micah 7, God says, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." In Jeremiah 31, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." God wants to give you and me a new past. On a stove was placed three pots of boiling water. In the first pot was placed some noodles. In the second pot was placed some eggs. In the third pot was placed some coffee grounds. The noodles went in hard but came out soft. The eggs went in soft but came out hard. The coffee grounds went in but did not come out. The coffee grounds became part of the water. Church family, I don't know all of your past. I do not know all of your individual circumstances. But I do know this, that all of our past, that all of our circumstances are made up of many events, many encounters, many circumstances. Good things and bad things, successes and failures, victories and defeats. In our life, some things went in hard and came out soft. Some things went in soft and came out hard. And some things went in and never came out. They permanently changed us. They gave us a past. But in Jesus Christ, we can have a new past. In Christ, all things can be made new. In Jesus, there is forgiveness. In Jesus, there is new life. God wants to do new things in our life. We mentioned next week being Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we worship Jesus as the Messiah. Praise be to the Messiah. Some churches will wave palm branches. And then on Easter, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. One of the events leading up to Easter was the time in the garden. hear these words concerning new things. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but swept drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. When with the ransom in glory his face at last I shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The message of Easter is God's love for you and for me. A risen Savior, Jesus the Nazarene, wants to give us a new future, a new present, a new past. Whatever your need is today, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for salvation, for deliverance, for restoration, for hope, for encouragement, a second chance at life, reconciliation within your family, daily living. When we get up and live life, Jesus should be in the very midst of it. My schedule tomorrow, this isn't really my schedule, but my schedule tomorrow, change the oil, cut the grass, go to the grocery store, visit a neighbor. Whatever the list is, Jesus is right in the midst of it, giving us a new future, a new present, a new past. The text of the message, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. God wants to give us a new future, a new present, a new past. It's our choice to live in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.